Music from Kurt Vile. That is from his new album. It's called Walkin' on a Pretty Days. And we heard Girl Called Alex. And this is a perfect way to segue into our second guest of the evening. He is a good friend of the show. If you've been listening for a while, you've heard him on our airwaves before. I want to welcome Dave Obenauer, the editor of Ghetto Blaster Magazine, in the house.
Hey, guys.
Hey, very happy to have you here.
Happy to be here.
Now, we had been talking a while to give everybody else some background on this. Last time Dave was here, he was talking about Record Store Day, and we always kind of mentioned Ghetto Blaster and what they're up to. And afterwards, we said, hey, next time an issue comes out, let's talk music. And so here we are.
Yeah, no, I'm happy. I think it's a great idea, so I'm excited for it.
Absolutely. Now, we heard Kurt Vile, and he's your cover artist this month, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's, well, we're quarterly, as ambitious as monthly. So you've got a full 3 months to go grab that issue. But yeah, he's our cover artist this time. We're really excited to put him on. He's a fresher face. But, you know, he definitely caught a lot of people's attention on the last album. And this new one, it's definitely a slow burn, but it really, the more and more I listen to it, the deeper hooks kind of sank in.
How do you guys determine who you're going to put on the cover? Is it trajectory of the artist? Is it who's really tickling your ears on staff at the magazine? Or how does that all work out?
It really, you know, it's mixed. We're trying to be a little more smart about it, though, because we in the past we have done some pretty out there covers. One of the examples being Orange Goblin, like an English stoner metal band. That I love that album, just filled with like H.P. Lovecraft and ridiculous, all the beautiful things you could hope for metal. But in the same sense, like they didn't have a tour, they just toured. But that was a year after the issue came out, and that was their first album in a while, so I don't know if it sold so well. But, you know, it was fun. I'm glad we got to put them on the cover. But, yeah, it totally just depends, like, you know, what's happening at the current time, what's interesting to us. And also, you know, we want to be on the cutting edge. We also want there to be a little bit of a story behind it, too, you know, something behind the music as well.
And in kind of mentioning Orange Goblin, you guys cover such a variety of types of music. Give me kind of a sampling of sort of the variety of genre we're going to see in this latest issue.
Oh, man. In this issue. Cool. I'm glad I've got it in front of me. We've got a hip hop artist Talib Kweli, who's a conscious rapper, but this album's kind of him rebelling against that tag a little. We've got everybody's favorite glam rock band of the 90s, Space Hog. They're back at it, which was awesome. I was excited to hear it. It's pretty much what you'd expect from them, and if you like that, you like that. There's also Wire, the old English band. Ghostface Killah from Wu-Tang Clan did an album with Adrian Young, who is kind of an older soul artist, and it's really interesting sort of conceptual album. And I don't know. I don't want to say too much about it. Like, look it up online, or just listen to some songs and get your own opinion on it. And then Half Japanese, which was this very artsy band playing, like, you know, to quote the President of the United States of America, 3-string, 2-string, no-string guitars. But him and his brother, Fire Records out of England, who actually did a lot of the Guided by Voices records too, they just did a reissuing of their debut album, Half Gentlemen, Not Beasts. So, yeah, lots of stuff going on there as far as music.
When you're putting an issue together, do you have sort of that variety in mind? Do you kind of have, you know, like, oh, we want to make sure we definitely have, you know, the best in hip hop and the best in rock and the best in this? Or is it kind of here's what we think is the best and hopefully we catch all of these genres?
A little bit of the both, but I definitely, like, I want to make sure that I'm giving the due diligence to some of the pillar genres that I would say are part of our magazine, which would be indie rock, hip hop, and our hip hop is obviously more indie and underground as well as, you know, every I love throwing in the world artist when I can do it, when it can make sense, when it speaks to me. We had that Sean Cootie cover, Fellas Son, a while ago, and yeah, no, I mean, pop punk, I'd say I've got a real, like, you know, soft spot for that, like the old Lookout stuff. And there's a lot of cool stuff going on there with the New Jersey scene and a lot of the bands coming out of Dirt Nap Records and Don Giovanni, Screaming Females. I don't know, a bunch more too, with all silly names. Big Eyes, which is a band featured in this issue. So yeah, there are definitely like genres I want to make sure that we're doing our coverage of. And I always love when something makes sense. It's a little outside of our wheelhouse just to bring that in.
Was there anything in the latest issue or any artist that kind of surprised you, was unexpected, either what they told you about their music or just quite simply they were somebody you didn't expect to like or to want to cover that just really spoke to you?
Primal Scream. I thought Primal Scream gave a really great interview. I mean, they're an old-time English band. They've been around for a long, long time now. But we got a really interesting interview from Bobby. He seemed very down-to-earth, which, I don't know, it would be hard to continue to be that way after you've been a rock star and English at the same time. It's a pretty tall order. But no, I thought he gave an interesting interview. Their new album, they've got Kevin Shields on a track and a few Kevin Shields from My Bloody Valentine and a few other guest artists as well. And that's definitely where I came from. Like, Britpop is my upbringing, you know, converting dollars to pounds as I bought Oasis singles off of eBay.
Nice.
And having them shipped to my Christmas tree farm that I grew up on in Ohio. So, yeah. But yeah, no, it was a really interesting interview from him. The Space Hog interview was also interesting just to see the continuing brother dynamics that they're going through. Like, it started out as a band with Royston and Anthony Langdon, and he tried to bring it back together, and they even had their third brother in there for a while, and then it just slowly devolved, and now here we are with the band, and it's just the one brother.
Kind of harkening back to the Oasis conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw all those bands on tour for the Band of Brothers, or Brotherly Love Tour, back in 2001.
Oh, wow.
That was fun. So yeah, there's a lot of little interesting things going in there. Oh, and Hani El Khatib, I think that's how I say it, or how you say it. He was a graphic designer, too. So, and it's always just kind of interesting to see, you know, the jobs behind, because, you know, it's not easy to make it in the music industry. A lot of times there's other things that you do to support yourself.
What's it like being able to kind of chart the modern course of bands like Space Hog and Primal Scream that, you know, you kind of like came up listening to and maybe have either continued on or have been away for a while and are coming back? For you as both an editor and writer and a music fan, what's that experience been like?
I don't know if I'm jumping the gun in our narrative of what we were thinking of doing before this.
Sure.
But the thing that I geeked out about the most in this issue is that we get to talk to comedian Matt Besser. He's from Upright Citizens Brigade. If you don't know that, you probably know Amy Poehler from Parks and Recreation. She was 1/4 of that team. And literally growing up, my buddy and I, VHS, you know, taped those episodes off Comedy Central, and we played the cassette until it wouldn't play anymore.
Nice.
It was old to start with, but I mean, still, we played it until, you know, it wouldn't play anymore. And just, I've been a huge Matt Besser fan, and we got to organize a photo shoot with him. Yeah, just an amazing photo shoot. He's dressed up like the Pope, and he's doing like this menial yard work, like spraying down his fence and pruning trees. But that, I almost more than any musician, like I had to really like geek out when I'm emailing him and trying to say, how much should I say that I respect your work, and how much should I just shut up and let the story run in the magazine?
Now the comedians thing, that's a fairly new addition to the magazine, right?
Yeah, no, we've spoken to comedians before, but primarily that was more just in reference to their film and television shows. But now we're starting to try to do a thing. We're living in a really exciting time for stand-up and comedy in general. And one of the great things about Ghetto Blasters, I work with such amazing writers who have such varied and really expertise in some of these issues. issues and I'm allowed to just say like, hey, man, you know this, you go wild with it. Like, tell me everything you know about comedy. And we've got a few of those writers that are really passionate. And, you know, they're the ones that are helping to lead this. And obviously I've got my hand in there. Like, why don't we feature Upright Citizens Brigade? There was a secret hand movement there of me pushing their will towards mine. I'm really excited to have comedians in the issue. Like, I think they also go hand in hand. You know, you look at like a comedian like Brian Posehn and all the different like metal band t-shirts he wears and how much he integrates that into his set. And David Cross is open for a ton of different bands, as well as Todd Barry and Neil Hamburger, and the list just goes on and on. So it totally makes sense, and it just was like the right time. We had the right staff, and now we're following after it.
Awesome. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Why don't we hear some music from some of the artists? We're going to start off with Lemuria. Do you want to introduce this at all?
Yeah. Lemuria is a great young band that we had featured on the cover of issue 27. Just amazing, fun pop. Like, buy this album. Just go and buy it. And we've got them featured in this issue, too, for an article we call What's on Deck, where we're just asking artists to give things that they're listening to, things that they're liking, things that they're reading. So we got some really interesting insights from that.
Let's take a listen to this one right now. This is Lemuria from their album The Distance Is So Big, and the track is called Chihuly. You're listening to Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WISO. We'll be back to talk more with Dave Oppenauer from Ghetto Blaster Magazine here in just a moment.
Sunday.
We're back here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WISO. I'm Juliet Fromholt, joined here in the studio by Ghetto Blaster Magazine's Dave Obenauer. Dave, welcome back.
Thank you.
My pleasure having you here. Just a moment ago, we heard Big Eyes from their Almost Famous album, and they're featured in the latest issue as well. Tell me a little bit about these guys.
Big Eyes, it's hard to say, just because they're a pop punk band, and sometimes it's hard to say more about a pop punk band than that. But it's particularly that track. It kind of reminded me of an old 90s Northern Irish rock band called Ash.
Okay, yeah, I can hear that.
Charlotte Hatherly went on to be in some other bands that were pretty successful, whose names are escaping me now. But yeah, no, it's I don't know. It's just good.
Well, I was going to say for a pop punk band, they also have a lot of kind of indie influence in that track. It's not what I would consider like sort of the old school traditional pop punk. Are you seeing a lot of that? You mentioned that you have a soft spot for that and you've been kind of following like who's doing what. Are you seeing a little bit of that indie influence creeping into some of the music now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there are still purists out there that are putting out that sort of thing, too. You're right, that's got a little more rock hooks in it, you know, with a couple of those little licks thrown in. But yeah, no, it varies, you know, from some of the things. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that thought necessarily. But yeah, there are definitely people out there that are still doing what they're doing. And, you know, I can appreciate that. But also people that are letting the lines bleed a little more.
I was going to say, I say that because I actually had had a music submission come in that I was listening to this morning. And they said they were a pop punk band. And it was very like what I would consider very traditional pop punk, like something I would have expected from Lookout Records back in the day. And this definitely seems to have that backbone, but definitely go some other places as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think pop punk is weird. I mean, every genre title
they're
is
all
weird to a certain extent. Because like when you tell, like it's almost like something you'd be embarrassed about, that if you tell someone you're like, I like pop punk music, their initial like knee jerk reaction is they're going straight to like Blink 182.
Yeah. There's a perception there, definitely.
Yeah, like a very hot topic-y sort of thing going on. And that I'm not going to, you know, downplay that at all. Some kids get their kicks out of there. And I think maybe I bought the At the Drive-In record at Hot Topic.
Hey,
so
you got to do what you got to do.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's a much more varied genre than people give it credit for even for the limit of chords that they play. They can still get a lot of different sounds out of those progressions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to hear from Michael Cronin. Tell me a little bit about him.
Michael Cronin, man, it's, I don't know, it's Merge to an extent. That label just can't do any wrong. Man, there's so many artists in the issues. I know that Michael Cronin plays, I want to say, for Ty Segall. I know that he's a guitarist for one of those other bands as well. But this is kind of like him going out on his solo things as well. The OCs. I think it's the OCs, not Ty Segall. No, it's Ty Segall. Okay. It is Ty Segall. I was reading my own magazine. Sorry. But yeah, no, he's just got a really interesting sound, and it's something that he instantly kind of clicked. It fits more into the pop side of things. But I don't know. You know, Mac from Superchunk sure has a way of finding those gems in the rough and showing them off for us. So,
Do you see that a lot, or do you get to see sort of these, you know, players who are part of a band, part of an established band, sort of branching off and doing their own thing? Are you seeing a lot more of that recently? Or I feel like I've been maybe getting a lot more of those albums as of late, but it might just be, you know, something that's happening fairly regularly, and it just so happens that, you know, they're coming across my door more frequently.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. That's interesting. I hadn't really thought about it so much. But yeah, there are definitely always people, and especially, you know, a lot of these, and maybe you're right in the sense that I think a lot of these bands that are coming out now are more bedroom, you know, sort of opuses, things that can be created and recorded all on your own, and a lot of bands' first albums are that. And then when they get a label, the label's like, well, you need to go out on the road now. So they have to recruit guitarists and other people. And these other people, you know, they already have their own projects. So maybe some of that comes in with the ease of recording and just kind of the mercenary effect that we're getting with artists. And it sounds like a negative thing, but I don't mean that in a negative way.
No, it totally makes sense. You know, when you have the access to when you can make a solo album at home without a record contract or, you know, a recording deal and see where it takes you, as opposed to, you know, getting into the business of the music where, you know, I'm going to split off from my band and do it in a very formal fashion. It seems like that freedom, you know, is there now with the recording technology.
A great example of that, an artist that I sleeped on that should have been in issue 35, is Colleen Green. And she's just an amazing one-person band. And her album Socket to Me, which I believe is out on Hardly Art, is just great. Just amazing melodies. Like, it's a drum machine, which is normally something that I hate. But, like, she packs a large amount of soul within that framework. And the pop and – well, not the pop and the hiss, but the hiss from the tape feedback really feeds into it. And it's a great record, and it should have been in issue 35. That's my bad.
Do you have those moments where, you know, you get an issue done and it's, like, ready to go, and then you discover somebody new and you're like, oh, man, how did I miss that?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially being, you know, a quarterly, you know, we were able to work a certain time ahead, but sometimes these artists are just, you know how artists are.
Yeah.
That they'll, oh, we've got a record ready. Let's get it out next month. And by that time, we've already got our issue all put together. But fortunately, and I think this is something we were going to talk about when we came back from the break, the website's really been picking up a lot recently. And we've been able to pick up some of those artists that have fell through the cracks and still give them the shine that they deserve.
Absolutely. Let's take a listen to this Michael Cronin track, and then we'll come back and tell you guys what Ghetto Blaster Magazine is doing online that you can follow on a weekly, daily, as long as you're connected basis in between the quarterly physical issues of the magazine. Right now, here's Michael Cronin from MC2. It's a merge release. This one's called Wait. This is Kaleidoscope on WISO.
I'm only getting older. Cause we are family. We are family. F-A-M-I-L-Y till the day we die.
Here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I am Julia Fromholt, joined once again in the studio by Ghetto Blaster magazine editor Dave Obenauer, and we are talking music.
Nice.
Indeed. So what we just heard was the Hani Al-Khattab that we were talking about earlier. Now, he's the one that's a graphic designer?
Correct, yeah. I believe he may have left that career behind, though, and now is a full-time musician.
Very cool. Now, right before we heard the first track we played from Michael Cronin, we were kind of touching on something I really wanted to talk about, which is the fact that although for a physical publication, Ghetto Blaster is quarterly, you guys are also really stepping it up with your online presence.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is all thanks to the work of the wonderful Timothy Andrel here locally in town, brother of
Yay.
Joe Andrel in the 1984 draft, and web editor also as well for You Indie. He's got his hands in a lot of pots. But yeah, he's been helping out a lot with web, just helping us with news items and interviews and things like that.
Now, I see you guys posting on Facebook kind of what you're featuring on the web, and it's more kind of up-to-date music news as well as, you know, kind of in-the-moment things, you know, responding to releases in a more real-time fashion. Do you ever do it where the online is a springboard for something that might appear in a larger form in the physical issue, or have you thought about that yet?
We've thought about the reverse of that, in the sense that, like, quick jumping back to the Matt Besser thing, the photo shoot that we got, and that was done by, what is her name? I'll remember it eventually. But she did just this amazing photo shoot, and just in addition to all the Pope photo shoot, there was also some of him dressed up as an Arkansas fan. He's from Arkansas, and a couple different costumes too, and they were just all so great. And it crushed me because I knew, like, oh, we're only going to be able to use like two or three of these. So I don't want them to go unpublished. I'm going to go ahead and filter those over to the website. And I think we're going to have a gallery of that up. And we've been trying to do some more things recently, too, like having pictures with quotes from the artist that we're sharing on our Facebook as kind of teasers for some of the interviews. But that's interesting to use the website to the magazine. I'll have to talk to Tim about that.
Well, yeah. So it sounds like right now it's kind of what a lot of magazines I'm seeing are doing, which is sort of, you know, get the magazine, read the article, and then there's some extra goodies online after you're done if you want more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, it's still, we want to, you know, some people have asked, like, why don't you put your articles up online? And it's like, well, because I know you won't pay for the magazine, you cheapskate. That's exactly why we don't do it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you know, in order to stay viable, you gotta put your bucks in the hat.
I still believe in print as a medium too. Like, I've got a real, you know, soft spot for it. And I think it's nice to have exclusives for both. Like, we had an interview with They Might Be Giants on the website that ran a couple months ago. We've got something more recently with Japan Droids and Torch. And I like, you know, keeping that exclusive to the web and that exclusive to the magazine. And hopefully when you read one, you're intrigued enough by our narrative style and the artists that we cover that you're interested to go on to the next. Like, our website is what we can do all the time, and the print is what we slave over and a beautiful thing that we put forward. Not that the website isn't beautiful.
It's a different kind of child that you're bringing forth.
Absolutely.
Into the world. Well, where can people pick up Ghetto Blaster locally if they want to get a copy?
Locally, the first place I would recommend would be going to Omega as well as Toxic Beauty here in Yellow Springs, although I haven't dropped off copies. I personally drop them off to the indie stores here. It saves them a little money. So it'll be at those two places. It's currently at Omega. And I'll also be at Ghostlight, although we were discussing earlier with the summer hours, it's hard for me to get down there. when I get off of work. So hopefully, maybe I'll try to get that in this weekend. But right now, it's at Omega, as well as we're at select Barnes & Nobles and Second & Charles and Books & Company. I'm not sure which of those locally we're at, but we are at those scattered throughout the country. And FYEs, too, scattered throughout the country.
And is there an online subscription option if people want to subscribe through the mail?
Absolutely. Getting a year-long subscription of four issues is only $14, and you can do that by going to ghettoblastermagazine.com, and over to the right, you'll see the subscribe there. And yeah, that would be awesome. You should totally do that. It saves a little money off the stand rate. Although if you're by one of these local stores, you should definitely go and support them too.
Absolutely. We're going to hear some more music, and then I think we've got a bit of an offer for folks. All right. Tell me a little bit about this one that we're gonna hear from next.
Who are we going to hear from
this
next? Pearling Hiss.
Yeah.
Nice. Pearling Hiss is this awesome band from Drag City. Very psychedelic. Drag City is a very bizarre label, and that's coming from very bizarre music magazine, in the sense that they cover, you know, anything from like old hippie reissues of 70s bands that went on to become mass murderers to like contemporary stuff. But this is a contemporary band out of Philadelphia, you know, also hometown to Kurt Vile. It's just great.
Let's take a listen to it, and we'll be back to offer you some on-air goodies. Stay tuned. More to come on Kaleidoscope.
Thank you.
We're back here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Juliet Frumhold, and I've been talking to Dave Obenauer from Ghetto Blaster Magazine, and you brought some goodies for our listeners.
I did. I brought three copies of the new issue that we would like to give to you.
That's right. You can score your very own copy of the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster Magazine, featuring a lot of the artists that you've been hearing this past hour or so. Lots of good stuff to learn about, to listen to. We've got three copies, so let's do the third, fourth, and fifth caller at 769-1998. That's 769-1998. Third, fourth, and fifth caller will get a copy of Ghetto Blaster's latest edition. It's got Kurt Vile on the cover. Go to your phones right now, 937-769-1998. Dave, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. 769-1998, third, fourth, and fifth caller. Get copies of Ghetto Blaster Magazine. Here's something from Yesayer.